Last night in the Tarawih Salat, the 18th para was recited. The first surah is Surah Mu'minun. In here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who are successful and those people who will attain the highest levels of Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you ask for Jannah, ask Allah ta'ala for Firdaus. This is the highest levels. And in these ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are seven qualities. If a person has got these qualities, then he will get the highest levels of Firdaus and he will be living there forever and forever. Allah ta'ala says, the qad aflaha al-mu'minun, the believers are successful. What are the qualities of the believers, those who have got ta'aluk and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have khushu, concentration and devotion in their salah. They're not only performing their salah, but in their salah, they outwardly, their limbs are sakinun. It's tranquil, they are reading all the movements like according to the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're not in a hasty to do it. And khaifun, in their hearts, they've got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us such a kind of salah. So this is the first quality Allah mentions of the true believers. Number two, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They turn away from all kinds of lagh, futile, immoral things. The highest level of immorality and futility is kufr and shirk. The person stays away from that. Second level, he stays away from all kinds of sin. And here the mufassirin say, Allah did not say tarikun, those who leave out sins. Mu'aridun, they turn away from it. That means they've got hatred, nafrat and dislike in the heart for sins also. They reach such a level that now it doesn't give them any enjoyment at all. Actually, it gives them displeasure to do any sins. And that's the second level. And the third level, a higher level, is where a person abstains from any kind of futile actions, even though they are permissible, but they will not be beneficial for a person in the life of the year after. They will not benefit a person in this world. So this is the second quality of a person of iman. He only prepares whatever he's doing, he does it with a purpose and an object of life, and he's preparing for the life of the akhirat. Number three, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They are always looking to purify themselves. They purify their money by giving it in zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are always purifying their hearts, cleansing their hearts of hasad, jealousy, of anger, of lust, of all the evil qualities in their hearts. They are always engaged, fa'ilun, all the time they are engaged in purifying themselves. Number four, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Especially their private path, they are looking after it. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Besides upon their wives, with the halal wives Allah has given, it is permissible for a person to fulfill his desires, or in those times the slave girls is permissible. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Then there is no malamat, there is no censure upon them. You know, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes also, it shows that this is not the object of life. If a person fulfills his desires, there is no malamat, he is not censored, he is not rebuked because of the day. But it shows it is not the object of life. It is, a person has to fulfill his desires, he should not make this the maqsad and object of his life. As we had mentioned in early in Ramadan, when hadith comes, the close to Qiyamah, the object of person's life will be two things, al-batan wal-faraj, his private parts and his stomach. All the time he is only worried about food and fulfilling his desires. So this is not the quality of a believer. So anyhow, he fulfills his desires. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. Anyone who speaks something besides this, he has exceeded the bounds. From here, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says that a person who is involved in masturbation, he is included in here. He is not amongst those two groups, the wife and the slave girl. So it's a person who masturbates, or any other kind, homosexuality, lesbianism, and all other kinds, anal sex, oral sex, all of these actions, they are فَوْلَيْكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. They have exceeded the bounds. They have done a very, very evil action. And that's not the quality of a person of iman. And in today's time, watching of pornography, etc., all of this will be included in there. Then the next quality Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those people who are looking after the amanat, trust, which Allah has given them, Allah Ta'ala has given us our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our hands, our feet, these are all trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We look after that. Somebody gives you money, it's trust, a person looks after that. Somebody amanat, time is also a trust. A person is working in a certain business, he's got a certain amount of time. He must work exactly according to those hours, otherwise he's cheating and deceiving in the trust. So all of these things are included in trust. وَأَهَدِهِمْ. And any pacts and promises which a person does, any business dealing, any signing of any contract, whatever a person signs, he is bounded by the conditions and clauses of that contract, and he must fulfill it. Verbally, he tells somebody something, he promises a person, he must fulfill that there. Allah Ta'ala says, and the last quality is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. At the times of salat, he is very, very particular. He looks after his salat. The times also of salat, he looks after his wuzu, he protects himself. So he starts off with salat, ends off with salat. Ulama say the reason for this is, if a person, the more he perfects his salah, he gets his salah correct, inshallah the rest of deen also will fall into place. It becomes easy to practice upon the rest of deen. Allah Ta'ala says, people who have got these qualities, they are the ones who are warithun al-ladina yarithun al-firdaus. They will get firdaus, the highest levels of Jannah, and they will remain there forever and forever. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that get these qualities, build up your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Allah is the one who created you. from non-existence, and Allah Ta'ala mentions all the different stages. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created you, and remember, when you pass away, you have to go back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So why shouldn't you build up your ta'aluk in connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? After Allah Ta'ala created you in the world, Allah mentions all the bounties, how He looks after you in the world, the different water He sends down, the plantations He's giving you, the food He's giving you, the animals, the transportation, all of this Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions. So why shouldn't you build up your ta'aluk? Who else can you build up your ta'aluk in connection with besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Thereafter, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who went to their people and also told them to build up their connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They were not prepared to accept, and many, many nations were destroyed. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were given certain commands, and this is for every single ummati also. Kulu minat tayyibat, eat of the pure and the wholesome food. As we had mentioned before, Allah Ta'ala three times He addresses in the Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas, one place, O people, all of people. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of iman, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. And here Allah mentions, Ya ayyuhal rusulu, O rasuls, messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat from the pure and the wholesome foods, which is healthy, which is beneficial for the person's body, which is not got no doubt at all, which is delicious also. When a person eats delicious food, it digests easily in a person's body. So all of these things. And the second thing is, automatically, wa'amalu saliha, you will be able to do good actions. It will be easy for a person. And also the third thing is, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعَبُدُونَ, they were commanded that they must have ikhlas and sincerity, worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, staying away from all kinds of sins. Unfortunately, many, many people did not follow the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and they went on their own path. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions about those people. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala also mentions other qualities of the people of iman. They believe in every command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They've got fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And they do not make any partners with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ, they do whatever they have to do, or they give whatever charity they have to give in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But they are not happy that I am successful. But their hearts are fearing that they have to return to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when this ayat was revealed, she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are these the people who are stealing? Are these the people who are committing zina and fornication, that they've got fear in their hearts after doing an action? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, these are the people who are performing salat. These are the people who are giving charity. These are the people who are fasting. And after doing that action, they've got fear that they have to stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, have to return back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I do not know whether it will be accepted in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is a quality of the believers, that they always have got this fear. Is my action accepted in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala or not? Thereafter, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions many signs of His Qudrat and power and the great favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He has given us eyes, ears, heart, قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ, but very, very little bit of shukr we make to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the people also know, even the mushrikeen, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the creator of all of these things. But still too, they are taking partners with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Thereafter, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, at the time of death, many, many people will say, رَبِّ رَجِعُونَ, oh Allah, let me go back in this world. Now I want to come back, I will do good actions. It will be, he said, it's too late for a person now. He cannot go back in this world. Now the trumpet will be blown. Now Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will weigh a person's amal and actions. Your actions are heavy, you are successful. And if a person's actions are weak, the scales are very, very low, then this person has destroyed himself. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that a person will say on the day of Qiyamah, how long you lived in this world? How many years? You see, no, we only lived one day in this world, or even portion of a day. Then somebody will say, إِلَّا بِسْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, you lived a very, very short time in this world. If only you people had known, compared to the life of the year after. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا, do you think we have created you in vain? You won't return back to us? No, you have to come back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, especially the kuffar and disbelievers, they will never be successful. But if a person has made a mistake, no problem. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ, oh Allah, forgive me. As soon as you ask Allah for forgiveness, straight away Allah forgives. 100 years of sins also, if a person makes tawbah sincerely, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive a person. And oh Allah, for the future, warham, forgive me. It's a very beautiful dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the Quran Sharif. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Oh Allah, forgive me for whatever wrongs I have done in the past. Warham, have mercy on me for the future. And you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah Ta'ala will show mercy upon a person. The next surah is Surah Nur. In here, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions that the people of Iman have got one quality of protecting their private parts. In this surah, in great detail, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions how will a person remain chaste, how will he protect his private parts. And very, very evil qualities of zina, of fornication and adultery. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala dislikes this action, where that is why the punishment given also is very, very severe. Yeah. In this world, a person will be lashed 100 times. And if he is a married person, then he will be stoned to death. for doing this evil action. It is very displeasing, disliked in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person has not been caught, he has not been taken to the qadi, to the judge, and there is no evidence against a person and he has done wrong, as soon as he makes tawbah, also Allah ta'ala will forgive a person. But a person should not fall into this evil action, because it will destroy him physically, spiritually, it will destroy his life of the akhirat. A person must remain pure and chaste. He will be he will have very high rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are a person is chaste, then you must never ever accuse a person. Start placing tuhmat upon a person. This person has made zina, he has fornicated. If you do so and you got no proofs, 80 lashes will be given to you. How can you accuse somebody? So be very, very careful. Don't ever accuse somebody. And your own wife, sometimes it happens, a person sees his wife doing an evil action, now you can't bring four witnesses. So a certain different law is given called li'an, where a person will go to the qadi and they will take certain customs and oaths, and eventually the nikah will be broken off. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of ifk, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, today is the 17th also, it is the day of the martyr. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha passed away on the 17th of Ramadan, which is also the day of the Battle of Badr. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's status is very, very high in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the other people, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha and many, many other people, when they had people had accused them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used small children as a miracle to prove their innocence. But for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, one whole ruku was sent down in the Quran Sharif, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, I also myself was shocked. I thought wahi will come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I was shocked in the Quran Sharif, Allah mentions 10 ayats mentioning the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and all the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, there was a battle Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha got left behind. One sahabi brought her back for a short while. But the munafiqin hypocrites made a big story about it and accused Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha of zina, fornication, a'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the innocence here in the Quran till the day of Qiyamah, which will be recited. Some ulama have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach normal human beings to see Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, what a great person she is. And the sahabi, Safwan radiallahu anha, what a great sahabi he was also. Despite the fact, just for a short while they were together, and it wasn't done purposely, mistakenly also, but how people make accusations, how people can pass remarks about them. So to us, teaching us the laws of farda and hijab are very, very important. They don't take it lightly. Your whole honor and your izzat can be tainted forever, just because you are seen with another man, another person. Somebody sees you after this for the rest of your life. Now people have got evil thoughts about you. So a person has to be very, very careful, looking after himself, looking after his izzat and honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever you hear something about the pious people, good people, say, subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. There's no proof. This is a complete buhtan. It's a complete slander against that person. And Allah ta'ala says that those people who like to spread immorality amongst the people of Iman, if somebody has done wrong, normally you hide the faults of that person. But those people, unfortunately, the Shias, they like to spread about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Even, na'udhu billah, she never did it. But even if she did it, you're supposed to hide the fault of your mother. But they openly spread it and they speak ill of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and they curse her. So Allah says that those people who like to spread immorality regarding the people of Iman, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. In this world also and in the year after, there is a very, very painful punishment for them. The year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when a person is entering a person's house, you must be very, very careful. There are certain laws. Don't peep in the person's house. Knock on the house. Ask permission. And the main reason of isti'zan, seeking permission, is because of the eyes. A person's eye must not fall in the house. The year after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the important law, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Lower your gazes. This will save a person from many, many evils. وَيَحْفَذُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. You want to protect your private parts, you have to learn how to look after your gazes. As you will look after your gazes, you will be able to protect your private parts. And another meaning is وَيَحْفَذُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Second meaning, the Mufassirin give, look after your sitter, cover your private parts. Make sure your private parts are covered, you will be safe from many, many evils. The private part for a male, the sitter for a male is from his navel to his knee. It's not permissible for one male to look at another male from the navel to the knee. It has to be covered. So if another man is wearing shorts, it's not permissible to look at the bottom portion. It's not permissible at all for a man, even one man to look at another man. This part must be covered. And for the believing woman also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they also must lower their gazes and they must also cover their private parts, or they must protect their private parts. The private part of a woman is the whole body of a woman besides her face and her hands. Her face, the rest of the body is satar of a woman, the satar. It means it has to be covered, generally at all times, it has to be covered. However, and if a woman is going out of the house, then there is a different law called hijab, which inshallah in the 22nd farah will come, where she has to cover her face also to save her from evils and fitnas. But the rest of her body is called satar. That means in salat, it has to be covered. If one portion is left open, a salah will not take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the body must be covered, except for certain people, example a father. For a husband, there is no hijab at all between husband and wife. Then your father's, your father-in-laws, your sons, your son-in-laws, your brothers, your nephews, your brothers' sons, your sister's sons, a Muslim woman, there the law is slightly relaxed. In front of these other people, for example, a woman's hair can be left open, her arms is slightly exposed, is no problem at all. Her legs after the knees is permissible for a woman. If it's exposed, her trouser goes up slightly, there is no problem at all. Her neck is showing also. This is permissible in front of your parents, in front of your father, your brothers, etc. Because you are living in the same house, it becomes difficult. And in front of other Muslim women, for one Muslim woman to another Muslim woman, the navel to the knee, it has to be covered. And in front of kuffar woman, a Muslim woman has to cover her whole body. It's also the whole body sitter in front of a non-Muslim woman. It's besides the face and the hands. Many of our Muslim women, they keep their hair open, example, in front of the maids, etc. So this is not permissible at all. So the whole body has to be covered in front of non-Muslim women. Many Muslim women go for this, they go to these women for beauticians, etc. And they are non-Muslim women. And they expose portions of their body. This also will not be permissible at all. So Allah Ta'ala mentions them. And similarly, small children who cannot understand the matters of husband and wife, for them also, if a woman exposes the rest of her portions of her body, it's permissible. But besides this, all the rest of her body has to be covered generally in front of any other person. And if she's going out and there are other men, strange men, then she must even cover her face to save her, which will come in the 22nd para. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, together with this, وَلَا يَذْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ. When she is walking also, she mustn't stamp a foot on the ground, because sometimes they used to wear anklets. So that sound will make a sound. It will make a jingling sound, and men will hear it. So even that sound, the woman mustn't expose it, because men will start getting desires and thoughts of that woman. From here, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, for it shows, it's not permissible at all for any male to teach a woman, a baligh woman, Quran Sharif, to listen to a woman reading Quran Sharif, to listen to a woman reading nizams, a lady giving bayans. It's not permissible at all for any male to listen to a baligh woman. And he says also that imamat of a woman, adhan of a woman, is a makruh according to all the fuqaha. So a person has to be very careful about this, the voice of the woman. In today's time, unfortunately, in the name of Islam, a woman's voice has become prostituted. Openly, they are encouraging the woman to speak, etc. The person has to be very, very careful. A person should abstain from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the matter of these desires is very, very severe. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. No matter how much you try, you have to make a lot of tawbah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, so you will be successful. Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that I even when I write a letter to a woman, and I'm writing a letter to a man, I can feel a difference in my nafs, because I'm writing to a woman. He says, I don't make ta'wil, I don't cover up my faults and my weaknesses. I know my nafs has got the desire for a woman. So when I'm writing a letter, I can actually feel a difference in my nafs. But he says, immediately I make tawbah. I don't try and cover up for myself. I make tawbah and ask Allah for forgiveness for this year. So this matter of the shahwat and desires, it's very, very subtle also. And it's very, very dangerous for a person. It can destroy a person's iman also. That's why Allah has mentioned this in great detail. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that after all of these laws, for a person to save himself from zina and fornication, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ. Whoever is unmarried amongst the Muslim people, make sure that they get married. Make nikah aam, make it common. Make your nikah simple, so that nikah becomes very, very common. It becomes easy for a person to get married. And if a person is not rich, but he wants to get married to save his izzat and chastity, Allah's help will come to him. يُقْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. But the intention of chastity, he is getting married, and he is poor. Allah will make that person rich through his kindness and grace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got great, great treasures. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you should never ever force people into prostitution. Many people, unfortunately, to get money, they force their women folk into prostitution, or their slaves, or their workers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just for some worldly benefit you are doing so. This is completely incorrect. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's nur and there's light. It will, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, light of deen, it will come in the hearts of a person. It will be found in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which the zikr of Allah is made, in the masajid, in the khankas, in the madaris. In all of these places, this light will come into a person's heart, and rijar will be created, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are not becoming beguiled by business and the business dealings, but they still remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are performing their salah, they are giving zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about his light and this light which Allah ta'ala gives. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the qualities of the believers are such, as soon as they hear the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not cover up for themselves. Sami'na wa ta'ana. They say, oh Allah, we have heard and we obey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that the promise Allah has given them who will do such qualities is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them khilafat in the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the deen which they like. Allah will establish it in the world. And all the fear there was, Allah ta'ala will change it into aman and safety. And this happened in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum, Zamana, in the eras where Allah gave them khilafat of the whole world. And from here the ulama say that this is another clear proof of the truthfulness of the claim of the khilafat of those four great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed it in the Quran Sharif. And what great bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given them, and how they established deen throughout the world. And from here also, whatever deen was in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, which Allah liked for people, Allah established it. So that is why the actions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, especially the first four khulafa, what they did in their zamana, in their era, is a proof and a hujjat for us. So we cannot say that it was not time, done in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't accept it. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us, follow the khulafa Rashidin after me also, hold firm unto their path. So we will hold firm unto the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnat, and the jamaat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That's why we are called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inshallah, we will read a hadith regarding the virtues of dhikr. An Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qal, marra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi Abdullah ibn Rawahata, wa huwa yadhkuru ma'a ashabih, faqal, ama innakumul mala'u alladhina amarani Allahu an asbira nafsi ma'ahum, thumma tala qawlahu ta'ala, wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhin, al-ayah, rawahu al-tabarani. حضرت عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہم فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا گزر ہوا حضرت عبداللہ ابن رواحہ رضی اللہ عنہ کے پاس تھے، اس حال میں کہ وہ اپنے ساتھیوں کے ساتھ اللہ جل جلالہ کے ذکر میں مشغول تھے، تو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا، بے شک تم ہی وہ جماعت جو ہو جن کے ساتھ مجھے اللہ نے اپنے آپ کو روکے رکھنے کا حکم دیا ہے. پھر آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اللہ کی اس فرمان کو تلاوت فرمایا، وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ الْآیَةِ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu whilst he was engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah together with his friends. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, you are those very people whom Allah jalla jalaluhu has ordered me to sit with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter recited the above ayah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu whilst he was engaged in the dhikr of Almighty Allah together with his friends. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, you are those very people whom Allah jalla jalaluhu has ordered me to sit with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter recited the above ayah. Inshallah, keeping this hadith in mind, let us make dhikr. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم، أنا جليس من ذكرني. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہوں، تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو. اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و غل، درد دل ہو، درد دل ہو، درد دل. غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر، تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر. لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. لا الہ الا اللہ، لا الہ الا اللہ، لا الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے، سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے. تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو، الہی رہوں ایک خبردار تیرا. لا لا
ای عطاو ذر درد دل کے مرتائے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو ہی مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم نے کیا کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں اے ناراضگی اس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس تادم آخر گردے زبائے میرے الہ نارا مستانا خوش می آئدم تاب جانا چنی می بائدم اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ راجز آسما ہم دم نبود راز را غیر خدا محرم نبود تمنا دل سے رخصت ہو گئی اب تو آ جا اب تو خلوت ہو گئی نے ملنے کا پتا کوئی نشان تو بتا دے مجھ کو اے رب جہاں. نام لیتے ہی نشا سا چا گیا, نام لیتے ہی نشا سا چا گیا, ذکر میں تاثیر ڈورے جام ہے. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله. اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وتمن علينا نعمتك واسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في على درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.